You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Again, I do want to express my gratitude to be a part of these services. Thank you so much for the invitation to come. I certainly am grateful for what God has done in my own heart through these services. Appreciate all the wonderful music last night and this evening. And it has been a blessing to hear Brother Burns sing again. I don't believe I've heard that song sung until I heard Linda Clear sing it. That was many, many years ago. But what a blessing that is, along with all the others that have blessed our hearts tonight. Appreciate Brother Scott. And I'm grateful that God has raised him up to lead and direct us. We praise the Lord that God will always have his man. When Moses is gone, Joshua will come. You can rest assured of that. And I appreciate all these men of God that are here tonight. We certainly do not take your presence for granted, but it's a great honor to have these servants of the Lord and to be a part not only of the ministry, to be a part of the bride of Christ, to be a member of his body, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You can't get any closer than that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But thank you so much for all that you have done for me during these 2 days. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was unto a stone most precious, even as jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the name of the apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, we bow in your presence. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin, Lord, thou said that you cannot and will not hear us if we regard iniquity in our heart. And I pray that just now that you'll search me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me, cleanse me of it, lead me the way everlasting. I thank you, Lord, for this day, for thy mercies that are new every morning. Thank you for the privilege to be a part of this camp meeting, of this service. We do thank you, Lord, for what you have done throughout all these years. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of those that have gone on before us, that have blazed the trail, left such a wonderful testimony. Lord, we do look forward to the day when all the ransomed church of God shall be saved to sin no more. Thank you for these that are here tonight. Bless these dear men of God in their places of service. I pray that you'll edify your church, exalt thy name, and when we leave, may we be aware that God has spoken to us and that God has said something to our hearts. Touch thy servant. I pray for that special anointing. Illuminate my mind. Loose my tongue. And may the word go forth in its power. All that you're pleased to do in this hour, we will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name that is above every name, the name of our blessed, blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight. God has put it in my heart to speak to you on heaven, my home. Now, the tourist industry in North Carolina, at least they used to have a slogan that says, I like calling North Carolina home, and so do I. But even greater than that, I am grateful that I can call heaven my home. Yes. Now, when I have had the privilege to visit another country, I like to learn everything that I possibly can about that country, about their habits, and about their culture, about the climate. And that is certainly true of my heavenly home. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Yes. If your treasure is in heaven, you will demonstrate it, and you will prove your faithfulness. I think about Dr. R.G. Lee. And of course, those of you that heard him or have read anything that he's ever written know what a great orator he was. And he had the ability to paint a picture as no man I've ever heard could do. But Brother Edwin, I understand when Dr. Lee was dying, evidently God had let him look into the city. For Dr. Lee said of heaven, I didn't even do it justice. No words can describe, no tongue can adequately describe what God has in store for His people. Now, Jesus said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of men, the things that God which hath prepared for them that love Him. The book of Romans is a book of much mores. But the book of the Revelation is a book of no mores. Much of what we discover about heaven is revealed by the fact of what will not be there. For example, in chapter 21, verse 1, there will be no more sea. Verse 21, chapter 21, verse 4, no more tears. Verse 4 again, no more death. Verse 4 also, no more sorrow. Verse 4, no more crying. Verse 4, no more pain. Chapter 22, verse 3, no more curse. Chapter 22, verse 5, no night. Heaven is an indescribable place. But trying to describe heaven, of course, is an absolute impossibility. The things of God are wonderful, and the things of God are precious. It is true in salvation that had not the Lord in mercy sought us, we would not have sought Him. He drew me, and I followed on, charmed to confess that voice divine. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. And so to try to describe heaven is an impossibility. It would be like trying to explain to an Eskimo who's used to 6 months of night, for someone from a brightly sun-drenched South Pacific island, trying to explain to that Eskimo about a place
of such warmth as the sunlit South Pacific. Heaven is real. Heaven is a literal place. Jesus said in John 14:2, I go to prepare a place for you. He said in Matthew 19:20, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. That could only be said of a literal city. Revelation 21:22 describes a city with foundation. Abraham looked for the city which hath foundation. He never found it on earth, but he found it in heaven. For that city has 12 foundations. Heaven is a perfect place. God made it. Colossians 1:16-17. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or powers or principalities, all things are created by Him and for Him, and His before all things, and by Him all things consist. God, who never made a mistake. God, the Creator. God, of whom Job said, doeth wonders past finding out, is the architect of heaven. Heaven is a permanent place. It has 12 foundations, as I've already reminded us. We have no continuing city here, but we have one to come. Now the question, is heaven a real and a literal place? Is about as reasonable as asking the question, is there melody in music? Is there heat in fire? Are there crooks in Washington, D.C.? Heaven is a real place. Heaven is a literal place. Heaven is a permanent place. Some great cities of this earth have passed away, of course. Think of Athens, Babylon, other ancient cities buried beneath the rubble of time. And someday, London, Paris, New York, all the great cities of the earth will crumble and be no more. But the songwriter said, a tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building for me a palace over there. My wife and I were visiting the Palace of Versailles. And we were walking down that long hall called the Hall of Mirrors. It didn't need dusting, but it was covered in gold. And as I looked at all that gold and saw all those mirrors, I thought to myself, if this were heaven, I'd be ashamed to be here. Heaven is a place that God has prepared. It is the most beautiful place that the wisdom of a holy God could conceive and could make. As we consider heaven, and I hope that is your home. I hope that you're in the family of God. I hope that you have heaven in your heart and heaven in your eyes. But we consider heaven's location, its direction. Isaiah 14 described Lucifer, who became Satan. Now, God did not create the devil. God created Lucifer. And Lucifer became Satan. And he became Satan in that moment when he said that he would ascend above the stars of God and sit upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. Remember that north direction. Psalm 75:6-7 says, promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. You know the direction of the north is left out. For Psalm 48:2 says, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. In the sides of the north, the city of the great God. John 3:13 says, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, but the Son of God which is in heaven. In Genesis 17:22, when God met with Abraham, after that meeting, the Bible says to the Lord, he left off talking with him, and God went up from him. When God gave Moses instructions as to what to do with the blood of the altar sacrifice, he instructed Moses to pour that blood of the sacrifice toward the Lord. For the north is described as the place where God dwells. God is everywhere, of course. He's here, but he's there. Heaven is up. And when you talk about heaven being up, the Bible talks about heaven being up. It is exactly right. We say down south and up north. It's no accident that scientists call the top of the earth the North Pole, the dwelling place of God. Wherever heaven is, it is up. It is just a heart beat away. But according to this book, it is up. And when I die, at the exclusive account of the Lord, I shall go up, 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 up to live with God. As the old songwriter said, with this robe of flesh I'll drop, I'll rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. I've gone to be with God. According to the Bible, there are three heavens. There's the atmospheric heaven. The heavens shall pass away. The heaven where the space shuttles fly. They're the planetary heavens. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. And then there's the celestial heaven where God dwells. Paul said that he knew a man. And of course we all, I'm sure, believe that he's speaking about himself. About 14 years before, they'd been caught up into third heaven. And when Paul came crawling out from under that rock pile, he in reality said, I don't know if I'm up or down, but I've been into third heaven and I've seen things that are not lawful for me to utter. He didn't write a book. He just said, I've been there. It's real. The third heaven, the celestial heaven, is the place where God dwells. However far heaven is, I know, thank God, that it is just a heartbeat away. I know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Consider its dimensions. Revelation 21:16 describes heaven as being 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long. If Daniel Boone is there, there'll be plenty of elbow room. One scholar has written about heaven according to these measurements, and he's described heaven as a solid cube of golden construction. And he said the base of the city would stretch from the farthest point in Maine to the farthest point in Florida. Each every street is one third the diameter of this earth. The number of main avenues are 1 mile above the other, and a mile apart would total 8 million miles. There's plenty of room in heaven. And there's going to be a multitude that no man can number. Out of every race and every culture, its dominion, the supreme authority of the sovereign God, rules this city. Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb. He that sitteth upon the throne shall dwell among them. Revelation 22:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceed out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. Satan's dominion does not run within these walls. There's no rebels. There's no rebellion in heaven. Nobody's marching about their rights. But heaven is a holy place prepared for those that have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. and their heart beats for God, and they've been made righteous. A satanic onslaught causes no tremor to these walls. It is God's holy, perfect, pure city where the righteousness of God reigns. And as a matter of fact, they're crying continually, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Heaven is a holy place. And then consider heaven's population. Revelation 7:9. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." I'm one of them. I'm right slap in the middle of them. And someday it will be reality. Hebrews 12 says of those of us that are in the grace of God, that we've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels, to the spirits, to the church of the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and the God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. I'm one of those washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm a member of the general assembly of the church of the firstborn. Heaven is populated with saints, and we will know each other in heaven. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as I am known." And I had the privilege many years ago to visit the cave of Machpelah, where Abraham and Sarah and some of the patriarchs are buried. That was a large screen at that time. You could look through that screen and see the opening of the cave of Machpelah. I thought about the words of Jesus in Matthew 8:11. And I put my mouth down close to that opening, that wire that showed the opening, and said, "Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'll meet you in the morning. I'm a part of that great assembly. They're coming from all over this world. Every culture, every climate. They had one thing in common. They've been washed by blood and saved by grace. And throughout eternity, our song shall ever be, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us.'" They're coming from China. They're coming from Burma. They're coming from India. They're coming from North Carolina. They're coming from South Carolina. Every part of planet Earth. But now they desire a better country. That isn't heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for hath prepared for them a city. Now of course the liberals are embarrassed with us. They're ashamed of us. What is it we are? We're undesirables and misogynists. I didn't even know what that word meant. I thought it's somebody that massaged people. And they've called us bad names. Not only those that voted the way they didn't like, but the people of God in general. And Brother Scott, I often think, if they really knew what I did believe, Brother Ed, they'd throw a net over me and haul me off somewhere. But I'm a part of that blood-washed crowd who believes the book, the word of the living God. And I'm a part of the general assembly. I'm a part of that crowd that has come from every part of planet Earth, washed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Heaven is where we will dwell. There'll be no empty mansions. There'll be no for rent signs. No place will be missing at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I saw a picture once of an artist's picture, a vision of the marriage supper. But I don't think it's right. Brother Eddie had a wrinkle in the tablecloth. There won't be any wrinkles. When he gets through with that, we're going to be without spot or wrinkle. Everything will be pure and perfect. We belong to the church of the living God. And the most, one of the most amazing things about heaven is the fact that I'll be there. I believe that. That's hard sometimes to grasp. But as sure as there's a God in heaven, one day this sinner who as a little boy was saved at the age of 9 in Whitnall, North Carolina, is going to walk on streets of gold and join the ranks of the Lord. I don't know when, but it's sooner than it's ever been. And of course, we look for the come of the Lord first. But if he doesn't come first, it'll still be all right. He will give grace and he will give glory in that hour. Isaiah described the humiliation, the suffering of our Lord in Isaiah 53. Ask the question, who hath believed our report? And the question, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And who shall declare his generation? The answer, right here. The bride of Christ, along with the redeemed of God that have been washed in his precious blood through the ages. They're the clothed multitude. They're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. He had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Did you know that to get to heaven, we must be as righteous as Jesus Christ? And there's not a person in this tabernacle or in all the world that could ever attain that kind of righteousness. But it's the free gift of God. When he saved me, he clothed me in his righteousness and qualified me for heaven. The multitude there is clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And they're going to cry, worthy is the Lamb, for thou wast slain. I remind you that the clothing is suitable for the climate. For the climate is holy. And the clothing is the fine linen, clean and white, is the righteousness of the saints. Revelation 19 says, and then consider heaven's sanitation. Revelation 21:27. And he said, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but those they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The sanitary measures in heaven are perfect. There everything is holy, healthy, and happy. There's no need of vacuum cleaners. No need of antiseptics. No sewer systems. It's a holy place. Clean and righteous. Spiritually as well as physically. It is a holy place. Neither shall anything enter into it, anything that defileth. God would deliver us from the very presence of sin. Behind all the tragedies of life, behind the dark shadow of the grave, behind suffering and destruction is sin that began in the Garden of Eden. But in heaven, there'll not be one trace of sin in that holy city. What a curse sin has brought to this earth, into our homes, in our lives sometimes, and even as believers, times without numbers. We have to get on our face and confess to God the same sins and plead the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. I'm glad heaven is a holy place. Sin fights me. Sin grieves me. Sin has sent some of my friends, and I'm afraid even some of my loved ones, down to hell to be eternally separated from God. But I am so grateful that in heaven there's no sin. Not even cold-heartedness. Certainly not the thing called backsliding. We'll live in one state of revival blessings, praising the Lamb for while the ages roll. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Now somebody says, who wants to go to a place like that? Where there's no sin. Where all they're doing is praising God. Every sinner that has been saved by the grace of God. To desire such a country For God is not ashamed to be called our God. Who would want to go to a holy place like that? I do. And every person saved by the grace of God. In the book of the Revelation, every time it seems you open the book, they're getting down on their knees to worship God. Or they're just getting up from their knees, worshiping God. But worship will be our occupation in heaven. I've never been able to worship God just like I want. I've never had the strength. I've never had the ability. I do not have the vocabulary. And I've never just praised Him like I want. But in heaven I will. No sin, no imperfection. Praising God while the ages roll. Heaven is a happy place. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. It seems too good to be true, but that's what this book says. Revelation 21:1, and there was no more sea, no more separation. The sea is the source of and the origin of great storms. But there'll be no storms in heaven. All of life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, and all sorrow will erase. And as they have sung in days past and gone, like a happy pilgrim that has arrived on the shore. When I see Jesus smile, and hear Him say, welcome home, my child. He'll be worth every mile of the journey. I think when we get to heaven, all the sorrow will be erased. I used to think that when we get to heaven, that we'd ask the Lord why this or why that, why our cherished plans fell through, why there was darkness instead of sunshine. And we may well be able to do that. I'm not discrediting that. But Brother Ed, I think when we get to heaven, and one glimpse of Him, we'll forget we ever had this all. We'll forget there was ever any dark spots in our life. We'll forget all about the journey. One glimpse of His near face. Thank God all sorrow will erase. And while the ages roll, we'll praise Him. No disappointments in heaven. We'll know while there was darkness instead of sunshine. And we'll rejoice in the great Savior's love. Isaac Watts, the great English writer, wrote, the hills of Zion yield a thousand sacred sweets before we reach the heavenly fields or walk the streets of gold. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fair worlds on high. Tears are the universal language of the race. We came into this world crying. We cry because of need. Tears come because of the night. Tears come because of the curse. Tears come because of pain, because of sorrow, because of death. But no tears in that land. Although we have specialists for everything, all kinds of medicine, and people to care for people, still, it's a helpless feeling to watch an individual suffer pain and to watch them suffer. There's physical pain. There's mental pain. There's the pain of separation. When John penned these words, he had been exiled on the lonely Isle of Patmos, and he'd been excluded from that little church at Ephesus. And that was the pain of separation. Separated by a dark, briny sea from the church of Ephesus. Sometimes we're separated by distance. Sometimes we're separated by circumstances. And sometimes we're separated by misunderstanding. But you rest assured that heaven is a place of no disappointment. No sad farewells. No storm shall ever break in on our frail vessels. No more thunder to sound. No more lightning to strike than that fair city. No more storms to break in on your heart, on your family. Heaven is a lovely land of unclouded day. There are no physicians needed in heaven. No services of lawyers will be necessary. No casket makers are needed. No sympathy cards will ever be required. People out of those professions will be there, but every one of them will be out of a job. Every one of them. Heaven is a place of indescribable peace and joy. It's a healthy place. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. That seems absolutely just too wonderful to be true. But there shall be no more death. We think even tonight of the great multitudes that have sat where you sat, that are now in heaven. Of great men of God that have stood in this pulpit, that are now in heaven. And they've crossed the river. We've said goodbye to our loved ones. Laid their remains in Mother Earth. Heard the rattle of the clay on their casket. And we have wept. And even now, no matter how long it may have been since they departed, when we think of them, there is memory of grief and loneliness. But this book says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death." Again, I heard Dr. Lee tell this story when he was pastor at Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis. One night, a young couple lost their baby. And when the little baby died, the doctors and the nurses wept unashamedly. And then as the morticians came in to take that little body away, Dr. Lee said to the funeral director, "Let her have her baby for the rest of the night." So she took that little baby in a white shawl in her arms. Dr. Lee went with him to their little house. And all night long, that mother would held that little baby in her arms. She would stroke it. She would kiss its little hands and tell it how much she loved it. And then at sunrise, with wailful words and crying, almost unbearable, the undertaker came to remove that little body to prepare it for burial. But that mother had her baby one more night. But in heaven, there'll be no more night. There'll be no more death. There'll be no separation. There'll be no goodbye. We say goodbye. It grieves us. And it is not because we're unsaved, because we do grieve at the loss of our friends and loved ones. But thank God, there's a land of no death and no sorrow. Heaven's an old city, but it's never reported one case of pneumonia. It's never reported one case of cancer. It's never reported any kind of disease whatsoever. No obituary has ever been reported. No grave digger's shovel shall ever mutilate the hills of Zion. No more dying. No more crying. Heaven's illumination quickly. His servants shall serve him. Revelation 22:4, "And they shall see his face." And that is the heaven of heavens. They shall see his face. I rejoice for everything that this book says is in heaven. It's all there. And much more. But I want to tell you, if heaven were knee deep in mud holes, I think I'd be satisfied, because Christ is there. Of course, it's not knee deep in mud holes. It's the most beautiful city the wisdom of God can conceive, and best of all, "And they shall see his face." That is the heaven of heavens. If you're saved, your heart rejoices and leaps at that blessed thought that you shall see his face. Brother Stacy, I don't know what my last word on earth will be, if I'll even be conscious to have a last word. But I think I know what my first word in heaven will be. Jesus, Jesus, yes, Jesus. Yes. And while the ages roll, we shall look upon his face. I think that in heaven that we'll rehearse the mighty acts of God. We're going to worship and serve God in heaven in absolute perfection. And the idea of just going and sitting down by a river and doing nothing is boring. But we're going to worship God. We're going to serve God. in perfection. God has mighty big things in store for us. And I long for that worship throughout eternity. It may be that God will put us in a time machine and allow us to visit great scenes. Charles Spurgeon said when he got to heaven, he was going to ask the Lord to let him go to some distant planet and proclaim the glories of Christ. And if he does, I'm going with him. I want to hear him. I don't know what we'll do in heaven, of course. It may be that God will let us see that moment that he created heaven and earth. Or the down at the Red Sea when he drowned the host of Pharaoh's army. It may be that he'll let us visit the spot where God saved us and where God redeemed us. I don't know what we will do in heaven, but I know this, everybody will be happy over there. Nobody says I'm sad. Nobody says I'm mad. But while the eternal ages roll, thank God we shall look upon his face and praise him. We shall see him. Heaven's observation. Heaven celebrates a sinner's repentance. I'm saying to you that there's likewise joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Likewise, I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. That tells me that not just the angels worship, but God himself rejoices over one sinner that repents. I do know that there is rejoicing in Emmanuel's land when a sinner is saved by grace. Every sinner that is saved brings joy to Christ. That's why he came to this earth. That's why he suffered and bled and died and rose again, that he might bring us to God. And then heaven anticipates the saints' deliverance. Heaven is waiting for us. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you've heard before the word of truth of the gospel. The saint goes immediately to heaven. No purgatory. No stopover. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. Our souls does not lie in some disease-ridden body or some body where the worms are devouring. Besides that, if the soul just slept in the body and the body's cremated, where does the soul go? If a body's blown apart as those in the space shuttle were several years ago, what happens to the soul? And of course, you that believe the Bible know that the soul will either wake up in a crashless eternity or beholding the beauties of Christ Jesus. Jesus said to that dying saint, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He had breakfast in the jailhouse, lunch on the cross. But when he sat down to supper that evening, he sat down in the kingdom of heaven. For Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. When they were pelting, Stephen's body was washed, and those stones were falling on Stephen. I can imagine Stephen crying, hit me again. I see Jesus. Thank God, to be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. Should I drop dead right now, I believe with all my being that I shall behold the Lord in all his glory. When Dwight L. Moody, the well-known evangelist of the late 19th century, was dying, he said to his daughter who attended his dying bedside, earth is receding, heaven is descending, and I'm going home. And she said, no, you're just dreaming. And he said to his daughter, no, this is real. Heaven awaits me. Whether we are conscious to say anything, if you belong to the Lord, you shall arrive to behold his face. But what a tragedy to wake up in an eternal hell without God, and the doors of hell have clanged shut behind you forever. I remember a dear man who used to visit my home church where I was growing up. He came down out of the mountains just off the Blue Ridge Parkway out of Boone. And he used to sing a song. And the only words I remember of it were, I draw my rations from above. Fight on, fight on, till the warfare is over. I think Brother Isaac wanted to go to heaven more than anybody I've ever seen. When you'd visit him, he'd meet you at the door, his eyes filled with tears, praising God. It was a reality. He couldn't help it. God was real in his heart. Everybody saw he witnessed to them and had the power of God on him and doing it. I went to visit him in the nursing home, and he became so weak. His voice was so weak that I could barely understand a word he said. But Brother Isaac's favorite expression was, I'll see you in the city. When I'd leave his house and say that, I'd leave him shouting and praising God. And I said that day to him, when he was so weak, Brother Isaac, if I don't see you again, I'll see you in the city. And sure enough, he went to praising God, and it was so loud, you could hear him all over the place hollering, hallelujah, I'm going to the city. I'm going to the city. Yeah. And it was like God poured a bucket of liquid love out on my soul. And I had to get out of that nursing home. And I put my hand over my mouth, and I could hear him all the way down at the end of the hall. Said, hallelujah, I'm going to the city. Yeah. I finally made it on the outside of the nursing home and went wild as a buck myself. Thank God, heaven eternal awaits every child of God. And by the grace of God and through the blood of Calvary, if you're saved, I will see you in the city. The best of all, we shall behold him. After the Battle of Gettysburg, and I'm sure that many of you have been there, and there's one place that is called Wheat Field. And it has been said that you cannot set your foot down in that field without stepping in blood. But after that battle, the Battle at Gettysburg, there was an army surgeon right in through the dying and the wounded. He saw a young man lying on his back. And he thought to himself, it's too late. I'm too late. He's already dead. But about the time he said that, a smile played across his lips. And he began to say the words, here, here, here. The doctor got off his horse, kneeled down beside that young dying soldier. And every time that smile would come across his lips, he would repeat the word here. The doctor shook him. Was able to rouse him up a little. And the doctor said, young man, please tell me, why is it that every time that smile comes across your lips, you say the word here? And that young dying soldier said, oh, doctor, they were just calling the roll in heaven. And I was answered to my name. Here, thank God, when the roll is calling yonder, I'll be there in God's holy, holy city.
Hallelujah. Lord, what preaching? Camp meetings about getting your mind and your heart on another world. Hallelujah. This message is like a cherry on the top to cap off this first week. Getting our eyes, our hearts set on another world. I'm glad I'm a-going. I'm glad I'm a-going. I know years ago somebody wrote a song, Heaven, Can't You Imagine? Thank God I'm glad I ain't got to imagine. Amen. Just got to open up the book. Just got to hear God's man. Preach about it. Amen. Blessed be his holy righteous name. Sing a little bit with us, Brother Jim.
There is coming a day when no heartaches shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, that will
present.
And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day.
Back up, sing that last verse again. It's a raining, so you don't have to be in a hurry to get you a car. No, no is a negative. But in heaven, it's turned into positive. No sorrow, no sickness, no death, no sea, no sin, no Satan. Hallelujah. What a day that'll be. Grab that second verse one more time. Lift your voice up. Amen. Above the rain. Amen.
There'll be no sorrow there. No more burdens to bear. No more sickness, no pain. And no more parting over there. Forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day, that will be.
Double clutch it now, sing.
What a day, that will be, when my Jesus has to see, and I look upon his face. Saved me by his grace, and when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, a glorious day that will be.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My, what preaching we've heard this week. Amen. I thank the Lord for God's men that have been here. And Lord willing, next year, this man will be right back on Thursday and Friday. And Brother Eddie Davis will be back the first several nights. Now, don't forget the Lord's Day coming up Sunday. Being the Lord's house somewhere, your place of worship, amen. If it's a place of spirit and truth, then come right back in here on Monday night, Monday through Friday next week, Monday and Tuesday. Brother Larry Brown will be with us. And then Wednesdays, Thursday, and Friday next week, Brother Joe Arthur will be with us. Amen. But my, what preaching we've heard. I thank God for his men and the faithfulness of God's servant. Amen. Saying thank you, just not good enough. But it's about the best I got for the moment, amen. So I say thank you, Lord, for your presence. Be careful as you leave. You can take your time. It's raining and dark out there. Be careful as you leave. If you get stuck, we'll get you out, amen. Don't you appreciate this man of God? Be sure to speak to him. Shake hands, you go. See you Monday night, good Lord willing, amen.